Welcome to Real Women of Bastrop, where small-town charm meets big-time grit. I'm your host, Lindsay Kana, sixth-generation Bastropian, realtor, and community cheerleader. Around here, we're more than big hair. We're business owners, mamas, creatives, and quiet powerhouses. And this podcast, well, it's pulling back the curtain on the stories, struggles, and strength of the women who keep this town running. Because every woman has a story, and around here, we believe yours matters. Let's get into it. Hey, I'm Vanessa Lindsley. I am a multifaceted woman, business development rep for Austin Title. I have lived in Bastrop forever. I graduated from high school here. My parents still live here and love our community. So I'm kind of a multifaceted Bastropian.
You graduated from Bastrop. I don't know why I didn't know that. I mean, I know you've been here forever, but I didn't realize you graduated high school from here.
Yeah, I did. So I went to Bastrop High School. I started halfway through my junior year. Okay. We had lived here forever, but I had always gone to school in Austin.
Okay.
And we used my grandma's address so I could go to McCallum High School because I was super involved in like fine arts and stuff. Wow. And then she passed away. And so I transferred halfway through my junior year of high school to Bastrop High School and graduated home with the Bears.
Love it. Very cool. Was that challenging to transfer in at that age? Do you remember was that kind of a defining moment?
Well, Bastrop was such a different place then than it is now. So yeah, it was pretty hard. I always joke, I had one friend in high school, which sounds sad, but it really wasn't. And because it was a small town and all of those kids had gone to school together since they were babies and had their families had known each other forever and ever and ever. And while we had lived in Bastrop forever, my dad worked in Austin. And so we did a lot of things in Austin. So we weren't really ingrained in the community like we are now. So it was hard. It was challenging to go and like break into that crowd. Yeah. And honestly, if I'm really reflecting and looking back, that's kind of part of the reason that I was like, we're going to live, work, play here. If we're going to live here, we're going to be here, because it is hard to come in as the outsider. And even though it's a super welcoming community, it's just hard personally, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I was talking to someone last week and they recently moved here and they were saying, you know, even though it's considered, you know, a larger town now, Bastrop is, there are so many people, it's which even, you know, might make it even more difficult to find your group, right? And those kind of that support system. So yeah, I think we do a good job as a community in welcoming new people and trying to be, you know, making the connections for them. Whenever I'm walking down the street saying hi, it's just be like, I'm starting up a conversation. I always made fun of my dad when I was little because anywhere we would go, he would talk to people and introduce himself. I'm like, what are you doing? But now, you know, as I'm older, I just see how important it is to just talk to people and just figure out, you know, who they are. So I value that now, that annoying habit he had.
Now, isn't that true? We embrace the qualities of our parents as we grow up.
I know. I'm
like, oh, wait, maybe that was actually really smart.
Yeah.
Maybe that was actually the right thing to do.
Yes, for sure.
No, I feel like we had to kind of go through a certain threshold of population before we could, because it's hard when you're a group of five and you've always been a group of five, it's hard to let people in. But when you're a group of 25, you know, it's a lot easier for the newbies to come in and just to welcome them. And I think you're right. I think we do a pretty good job, or I hope we do a good job of welcoming those who are new to the community, because we for sure want them here, you know? And so I think we've done a good job of being mindful of the fact that we are a community that is transitioning from super small to not so super small, and just allowing new ideas and new blood and new people to come in and just embracing them.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've kind of been on both sides of that. So it's fun to see the change.
I think too, like you, whenever I think of you, I always remember you, you know, like as fitness and like going out and motivating people. And so I think when you're also in that fitness world there, it's easier, right? To kind of, if I'm looking for a group, obviously I can join a gym and meet people that way. But there are many more outlets, I think, like that, like the fitness world, for people to come into, like the art community here is huge now, which it didn't used to be. And so I think that's a great way to meet people. And then I was talking about, well, of course, if you're in a business, I mean, the chamber's great. And so that's a whole organization and they do so many things to help businesses, but also as an individual, you know, that helps. So yeah.
Well, and it's funny because our whole fitness business was born out of kind of necessity and kind of something just fun for our families. Yeah. I had always, you know, we had two little kids at the time when we opened Foot Club Fitness. We had Sutton and Trinity, and they were, gosh, Sutton was probably like 7 and Trinity was 3. Wow. And there was nowhere in Bastrop, aside from Jazzercise, which I loved, but I'm not a dancer. I'm not coordinated like her, but I love it, but I'm not good at it. But there was nowhere in Bastrop to work out that had childcare. And our family, it's always been a family motto of ours that we roll like a pack. That's just one of our core values. And so there was nowhere to go with them. And we had, John had always been worship leader at our church. And so everyone knew me as John's wife and, you know, Sutton and Trinity's mom. And that was super fun. And I loved that role. But I kind of was missing, as the kids grew up, I was kind of missing stepping out into something of my own where they knew me as Vanessa, not just John's wife.
Yeah.
And so, so we both loved to work out at the time and we had kids and we needed childcare. And so Fit Club Fitness was born because we both had our personal trainer's license and we're like, oh, this is something fun we can do together as a family and fill a need in our community. And it started as just a side note, a side thing that we were going to do on a Tuesday and Thursday evening for fun. And it blew up. Like it was the company we didn't know that we wanted.
I love that. Yeah.
We got to run as a family and for like 12 years.
When you first started, were you hosting the sessions outside, just random, like wherever, or where did you have an actual location? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, it was in the park because we didn't, we didn't start out. We started out as something, we wanted it to be something fun to do together and we needed a place for our kids. So we were like, okay, we're going to do this little fitness business in Fisherman's Park.
Okay.
And it will cost us $0 and started with, you know, no overhead. And so we ran that little boot camp and it was a 6-week program. You could come sign up for 6 weeks, no contracts. We wanted it to be inexpensive so families like us could afford to go. And then the childcare was cheap. It was $1 per kid. So we just needed to pay the babysitter. So the childcare would be in the park, and the babysitter would watch the kids in the playground. And then we would work out in the park. Super fun. We ran it like that for like years. And I'll never forget like the first time that I think it was like our third session that we had done. And you never did any pre-signups or anything. Again, very new in business at that point.
Yeah.
And so you never did any pre-signups or we never had any idea who was coming. And we sent out the marketing, right? And then we show up the first night. John and I were just like, okay, who's going to come this time? Is it going to be anybody? Is it going to be just us? It's so exciting. And then people started coming. And they kept coming. And we were like, oh my gosh. Now what are we going to do with all these individuals? Everybody is like us. We need childcare, which brings us back to the friends because it really created this little community who a lot of them were still like very, very close with to this day, of people that were just looking to make friends, find a place to belong and have a place for their kids that they were valued and loved. And that was our heart. That's what we wanted to do. So fast forward to, we switched the business model to, we kind of outgrew the park. It became unsafe for the kids because we had so many kids. So we were able to rent a space at Giggle and Jump. And our business model became, we're going to create a place for your kids that they want to go. And then the parents will come. So it ended up that the kids would drag their parents to show up to work out because they're like, we want to jump on all the inflatables. We can jump for $1 a kid. So parents could afford to come. Yeah. And, you know, we're just trying to pay the babysitter. And that was this really good workout thing. So it was just a really sweet time for our family. Yeah. Our kids grew up in the gym. So they just became these little gym rats from an early age. So even today, Trinity's first job was a spin instructor. Sutton's first job was not first job, but one of his jobs was a CrossFit instructor. And it just became this legacy
part of their lifestyle.
Hey, this is what we do. And it's who we are.
Yeah. I love that. And what a great model, you know, for health and for kids. So yeah, I love that. What made you stop doing that?
So we loved that little program and we ran it until we just couldn't. And the thing about the thing about business and the thing about, I think, a lot of people in business is that, and I can say this because we didn't necessarily do this correctly. We didn't start with a whole plan, right? Yeah. We just started with, we want this cool thing for our family.
Want to do it.
And yep. then we really feel like God blessed it and it just grew and grew and grew. And so we assumed, well, because it's growing, of course we need to grow and of course we need to do more and of course we need to, but our heart was to keep it really affordable.
Yes.
And it's not really, the numbers don't always work out. So we were working really hard because we kept adding classes, but we weren't raising the prices. And so we were adding all these services and then it just got hard. And yes. the numbers, I mean, it continued to work out and it was good, but then also our kids got tired of living in the gym.
Yeah.
And it was never our, I mean, John had a full-time job at LCRA and then I was still working. And so it was just never our goal to be this full-time
that thing.
So, you know, we opened the yoga studio, which was yeah. so cool. We love hot yoga. We opened that studio and then we had the boot camp studio. And so we were running two businesses and it just got to be a lot. And our kids got older and we were missing things like yeah. football games and cheer competitions and things like that we were never intending to miss.
Yes.
And so it just got to the place where it just didn't serve us anymore. Yeah. And so we were like, you know what? At this point, we've got to maybe not do this. And then yeah. at the time, as God does, he puts things in your life, right, that are just at the right time. Not early, not late, but at yeah. the right time. And so HT Fitness came to town and contacted us and said, hey, would you guys be interested? And we're like, actually, yes, we would yeah. be totally interested in joining with you guys. And let's talk about this. And so we were able to kind of transition teaching on our own to teaching with them and having that space. And so we still got to do what we loved, but we didn't have the overhead and we didn't have all the infrastructure. And yeah. it just ended up really, really cool. So, and our kids didn't have to live at the gym 5 days a week, 7 days a week, you know,
yeah.
every day after school.
You know, I think this is a really important message because I'm just reflecting and thinking through some things as you're talking. And a lot of people, I think I've heard, you know, my friends say, and they've grown up thinking, oh, I need to do this one thing and this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, or I need to pick and choose. And well, I don't really have a plan for this. And how would that go? And all the what ifs, right? But when I hear you tell the story about how you started and just that it was, you know, it worked for your family at the time and it was something that you were interested in that you loved and you wanted to help others. And I think all of those things together don't necessarily mean you have to dive in and start a huge business, but you just go the direction that your heart's going and what you feel is right. And go and just jump into it, you know, without a big game plan. You don't have to always have a huge end game and then see where it goes, which it led you to a really great transition. Once your kids were at the age where, you know, it wasn't working anymore, you could transition and still have that as part of your life. Yeah. So I think it's just a great thing for everyone to think about not having to pick one thing. And I know my daughter's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. She's 15 or about to be 15. And I'm like, you don't have to decide what you want to do right now. You can do like 50 million things. You don't need to pick one thing. And I think it's great to like allow kids to explore different options and not put that pressure on them to have to, yes, you have to be successful in this one thing, right? It's okay if you fail because failing means you're trying, right? And if you're not failing, then your life's going to be pretty boring.
Right. Well, and I think if you look at it, like I couldn't have told you this at the time, but yeah. if I look back, and it's funny because I have these talks with Trinity too. She's, you know, about to be 22 and she's like, yeah. okay, what am I going to do? You know, she's looking at graduating from college. She's like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? It's so much pressure.
Yeah.
And when they were, you know, when we were younger parents and when we were, you know, showing our kids, like we're trying to help them figure out where they were with the way to go, there was so much pressure on us to like, don't screw it up. Don't screw yeah. it up. Don't mess it up. You can't make a mistake. You can't, like, you have one chance. And really, that's not true.
Yeah.
Really, no. that's not true. No. And it's so, you know, if we can all just like lean back and take a breath yeah. and like take a moment, and maybe it's just me that parents like this, but if you can just take a minute and just take a breath, it's so freeing. And it takes some of the pressure off and it really is going to be okay if you mess it up, and you really can't mess it up because you made it up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking at that, but what we were talking to Trinity about is, you know, you're going to be many different things over the course of your life. A lot of different things. You're going to have different jobs. You're going to have different careers. You're going to have yes. different, but if you look back and think about it, there's probably one thing that is like the central theme of what you're doing. Yeah. And so if I look back, like, you know, I love, you know, helping people connect to other things. Yeah. So it follows just a pattern, like, right? We did that in our fitness career. Right. Loved that. Man, creating a legacy of helping people become their best selves and realize who they are mm-hmm. is really cool. Yes. And it's really the best job ever. And I really love it. And it's just so fun.
Yeah.
Helping to build other people into who they desire to be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went from that to working at the Bastrop Chamber of Commerce. And I really loved that because such a great organization, helping people connect to who yes. they in their business, who they want to be. And, you know, the work of the chamber is, it's just that. I used to tell people, you know, before they would come to a luncheon or a mixer, because I was the membership person. And so I worked with a lot of our new members and everybody.
I forgot you worked there. You've done so yeah. many awesome things. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I love my time there. I worked there for 3 years. And
that's right.
You know, getting to work with our brand new members, everybody says the same thing. So let me just tell everybody, if you're considering joining the chamber, everyone is nervous about walking into their first luncheon. Everyone is nervous about walking into an Alive After Five. Everyone is nervous about going to everything. Like, you're yes. not weird.
Yes.
Because I would have that phone call and they'd be like, well, probably everyone knows each other. They don't.
That's so people were worried about that. Okay. Interesting.
Like, you got to take a deep breath and know that you're about to meet 150 of your next best friends, yeah. right? And just kind of walk through it because it sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
That theme of like being a connector and helping yeah. people like just realize their goals and dreams, like it carried over into that membership position. And then when that was not really when I was ready to move on from that, you know, working for Austin Title, helping connect realtors to escrow teams, you know, and close transactions and really being involved in, you know, their biggest purchase of their lifetime, which is that's such cool work.
Yeah.
You know, being able say, hey, how can we help you handhold through this and feel confident and comfortable in something that is tumultuous by nature and nervous by nature?
Stressful.
How can we help him make you go, okay, it's really going to be okay. And also, we're so excited for you in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing. And so it's just, so yes, you change careers and yes, you change and do different things. But really, if you look at it and think about yourself, the same central theme is probably overarching. Maybe it's not. But for me, it was. And so that's kind of how I got here.
Yeah. Teaching or showing your kids, you know, or giving them opportunities to discover what they're passionate about and what, you know, fulfills them, I think is pretty much what we need to do rather than saying, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? Like, how do you feel? What makes you feel happy? What makes you feel, you know, content and then fulfilled? So, yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah. I tell Trinity all the time, we're like, look, you're building a whole life. Like, it's going to be long. It's a whole life. So if you have a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, you know, you have a lot of them and it's going to be okay. Or if you have a really great one, you know, then let's continue that. You know, it doesn't always have to be, it's not always going to be perfect
right
in the moment.
Right.
Know? And we really saw that, like, go ahead.
I was listening to this podcast the other day and it was when you just said perfect. It was kind of about parenting and moms in general, or like that was the focus, moms. It said the lady, she was a specialist and of course, and she said, you know, it's actually better to be a good enough mom than a perfect mom, because being a perfect mom really sets you up and your kid up for so much failure. What you want to be is good enough, which sounds kind of like, I don't want my kid to look back and say, oh yeah, my mom was good enough. But in actuality, like, they need to see you fail. They need to see that you can recover, because it teaches them that they can do the same thing, right? So there are mistakes that are going to be made. But I just thought that was really, when there's so much focus, I think, you know, in society is being a perfect mom, whatever that means, but good enough. I loved it. I was like, okay, I feel really good about myself right now.
Yeah. Well, and then you have to think about who's the judge.
I know.
Who and what's the metric?
Yeah,
because I might make you a perfect lunchbox that has cutout sandwiches and is perfectly macro balanced and is, you know, phenomenal. But who's the judge of that? You know, if that doesn't hold value to someone else, then that's not perfect in their eyes.
Yeah.
So when you take away that perfect, you know, I want my kids to know, like, when I think about, like, what do I want them to think about me? I want them to think, yeah, my mom loved me a lot.
Yeah.
And she was for me. And she is willing to do whatever, you know, for me to be healthy in my own body and mind and heart.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's perfect.
Agreed. Yep.
And so it's not perfect to, you know, like the way you do it may not be perfect to me, but it might be certainly perfect to Addie.
Yeah.
And Addie may not know it at the time, but she's going to know it later. She's going to be able to look back and go, yeah.
That's why that rule isn't stupid.
Yeah. You really cared about me, man. She knows nothing good happens after midnight. So I couldn't stay out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, let's talk about inspiration. So how do you stay inspired? And are there any practices, people or places, you know, that fuel you? So how do you stay inspired just in your life?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. And it's something that I struggle with actually a lot. And I think that those of us who are maybe like more salespeople or more extroverted, I don't know. I feel like we struggle with different things than the people who are not. Like, for example, my husband, John, is a runner and he is a spreadsheet guy. He's a finance guy and he loves a spreadsheet. Like he can go and just like, he wants to crunch the numbers and he wants to like, I mean, and in our office, Karen Cannon, she's the same way. Like she's happy sitting at a desk, just like filling out stuff. And I cannot like that. Yeah, I'm good for like a day of that, but I cannot.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I have to change it up a lot in order to stay excited and encouraged and, you know, feeling like I'm productive, which is kind of why I love my job now, because it's always different every single day. Like what everybody needs is different. And I have loved different stages of motherhood because it changes constantly. So you're always having to figure it out. But I also struggle with sitting in contentment of, it's the same today. This is fine. You know, so it's like, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But I think keeping it fresh, like always looking for, if you know, you're talking about a workout thing, I'm always down to go to a different fitness class. You and I were just talking about this the other day where I was like, oh, I found this new cool instructor.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I think we're a lot alike in that sense. So yeah, I'm down for a new workout any day.
Yeah. New workout, new playlist, new, you know, way to do my job that's different, new, you know, let's keep it fresh and moving, because I feel like if I don't, and maybe this is a red flag about me, possibly, I get a little stagnant and it gets easy for me to just be complacent in what I'm doing. Oh, I got this handled. Yeah, we can do this on a Tuesday, you know? And I just don't want to be her. I want to be more, I want to work hard at things and I want to accomplish them, but I also want to really love the process.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's the process, you know, to me, it is, I need to love the process, but I realized about myself a while back that when things pop up in the process that turn me off or I don't like, sometimes I'm quick to like jet. I'm like, oh, I don't like this anymore. So I've learned to work through those and think, okay, I don't love this in the moment. It's not my favorite thing to do about this, but I'm going to do it, get through it and let's go. Because, yeah, for me, it's more about sticking with it until it's finished and then saying, okay, at least I did my best. You know, I can look back and say, I tried everything, didn't work. Now I can go, instead of, you know, just with little things. I don't know. That's just a personal thing. But yeah.
No, for sure. For sure. Being able to look back and be proud of what you did and how you reacted in the process is, I think, so important and so valid and hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard. It is. It is.
Like, that's like, don't gloss over it. That's not easy.
Yeah. No. It takes a lot.
Yeah. But it is worth it, you know, and then it is worth it to be able to look back and go, you know what? I worked really hard on that and I crushed it. And I think also it's not bragging to be like, hey, acknowledging our own accomplishments. I think sometimes as women, we feel like we should minimize or feel like we should be humble about what we did. But sometimes it's okay to go, you know what? I worked on that and I crushed that, and let's just take a minute and feel that and not just move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that.
I did wake up today and clean my house and I didn't want to do that. And so let's take a minute at the end of the day and go, you know what? This looks pretty good.
Yeah. I do it literally after every, so I've been on this walking kick where I think we talked about it. I wear the weighted vest and I do the walk. I'm at 2.5 miles and then I'm not going to go any further than 2.5 miles. That will set me up for failure. I know already I can't keep adding distance. So I'm adding weight, right? And which is easier for me, for my mindset. But after every walk, I'm like, yes, in my head, you did it. Lindsay, you're awesome. I will say that every time I get back to the house, because I don't know, it just keeps me going. And so now, you know, I am walking. I have to walk 5 days a week. If I don't, I get major anxiety. So I don't know. I just think it's important to set yourself up for success and acknowledge the good that you're doing that makes you feel good and just say, yeah, you're doing a great job. Keep going. Don't expect it from everyone else. You know, I think that's a huge life lesson too. Like, don't expect people to say, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing such a good job. Like, you have to, it's better when it comes from yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the pause is so important, and we don't pause. Yeah. We don't pause and go, period. That's enough. Yeah. It's always like, oh, but how can I add more? How can I possibly do more? What if I did this? What if I did this? Would it be better? Yeah. And sometimes it's just good. Like, sometimes you just have to stop and go, okay, that was awesome. And let's really feel it, because we live in such a fast paced society that's like, okay, great job. Move on to the next. Well, but hang on. I'm still like thinking about this that I worked hard on and I did.
Yeah. Yes. Taking the time is so important. Well, I do want to talk about this because I think it is a you question that you'll have a great answer for. So was there a moment in your life that you surprised yourself with your own strength?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, you see me pause and I'm like trying to gloss over it because I'm like, it was fine, you know, working on. But yeah, so it was 3 years ago now, I had breast cancer and I was not expecting that when I went to the doctor. So I got diagnosed at 45. I never had a mammogram, never had any indication. It's not in our family. It was just kind of a blip out of nowhere. And so fun fact, I was getting a massage one day and I was face down and it was painful. And I was like, what is that? And talked to a nurse friend of mine, and she basically attacked me physically and was like, oh my gosh, you have to go get a mammogram. I was like, okay. And sure enough, stage 2.5 breast cancer, because it had been there a while and I just didn't know. And so, so I went into breast cancer thinking that I was going to run the show. It was going to be as I expected, as I wanted it. We were going to do X, Y, Z. I didn't want to have chemo because I didn't want my hair to fall out. I didn't want it to be a big thing. I was just entering the most, you know, exciting part of my career. I didn't have time for cancer. This wasn't going to be a thing. And I was quickly humbled by my surgeon, who was like, actually, you're not in charge. Actually, this is not about you. Actually, you are going to have chemo, all of the things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for me, right? Good for me to be put in my place and go, okay, wait, no, I'm not in charge. And so after that initial meeting where I had to align my feelings with the facts, it was really just about, let's do the next right thing. And I think I handled it with a lot of grace. All my hair did fall out and we survived and it grew back. I have no more extensions. It's all mine, all my real hair. So that's fun. Yeah. He, you know, did a bilateral mammogram. We cut both boobs off. Can I say boobs? We cut both boobs off and then we put them back on, you know? So that, like, we did all of that. We did all of the things, like all of the things that I didn't want to do, we did.
Yeah.
And because they posed the question, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to be alive for your kids or do you not? And I was like, oh, yeah, period. I do. And, you know, the plastic surgeon was like, she and I kind of came to head, like, she's like, you're not in charge of this. Like, we are in charge of this. You are the patient. You just need to do the next right thing, the next right thing, the next right thing. And so once we had those initial meetings and I kind of just got over it that I was not in charge, I think I did well. I think that we did it with not a lot of complaining. I think we did a lot of just make it not about me and let other people be in charge. A lot of humbleness, a lot of, hey, yeah, this sucks, but how can we not let it suck so much?
Yeah.
So I'm proud of that. I can look back on that and go, yeah, we did that well as a family. And it's done and we're glad it's done. But while we were there, I think we handled a lot of grace and it was good.
And I'm going to ask you this question, like, if you've ever felt like during that time, were you ever scared? Because I went in, this is a few months ago, I've been getting mammograms since I was 40.
Good for you.
But since I had Collins, which is almost 3 years ago now, I got one right before I got pregnant with her. So I hadn't had one in 3 years. So I already knew it was time, like, overdue. My mom had yelled at me 500 million times. I'm like, I guess I'm going. But I was feeling this like pain, a little bit of pain, not major. Something wasn't right. And I was like, oh, crap. So then I kind of got, you know, you get a little scared, a little worried. And then I have dense breast tissue, TMI anyway. So every time I go for a mammogram, I have to like go a second time and they have to look at it. That's just, my mom had it too. And so, I was ready. I was prepared for a second time. I'm like, okay, that's nothing. Yes, I've done this again. We'll go again. Well, the second time I went in and they did it, she was like, okay, we're going to keep you here and have someone else look at you. But it's only your left breast, which is the one that had been, I was worried. Like, it hurt. Something's there, right? So I'm laying there, right?
She's a troublemaker. Me too.
Yes. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, oh my God, this could be, that could have cancer. This might be it. Like, you know, all the things are going through my head because I'm alone in the room waiting for the third doctor to come look on the ultrasound. I was terrified in the moment. And then I'm planning everything, right? Kind of like you, like, this is what we'll do. We'll eat clean. We'll do this. We'll, you know, everything will be very strict and we'll get through it. And I just planned out the next 3 years of going through, you know, this whole thing. Before I even, anyway, and it turned out nothing. A lymph node had moved down or something and it's there. There's no cancer, thank God. But I remember feeling terrified and like really alone in the moment. And I just, did you ever get that feeling through the whole process? Or were you just like, go, 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 didn't have time for it?
No, well, a little of both. So the time period that I had cancer was during COVID. And so I was alone because you had to be alone.
Yes.
No one was allowed to come to my appointments. No one was allowed to come to chemo with me. So like the chemo parties that you see on TV, that was not a thing. It was just me.
That's so hard.
And yeah, it was hard. It was hard. I didn't know any different, right? So I never had cancer before. So I mean, I'd seen chemo parties on TV, but like, what's real life?
Yeah.
You know, we were all sitting there, you know, by ourselves. And so, yeah, at times I felt alone. I mean, John did a really good job of like, he would always go with me to chemo and he would just sit in the waiting room, which I felt really guilty about because that's a lot of time. And side note, Texas Oncology, while a phenomenal place, does not have good Wi-Fi. So there was no Wi-Fi for him.
I hope.
Which is like small, but like also not small, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're sitting there and your wife's having chemo and you cannot even distract yourself, you know?
So, yeah. Yeah.
But I can remember, I just kind of, I kept myself busy during those times. I did a lot of work. I took my laptop and I would work while I was getting chemo and people would, I remember the nurse. So it's a funny story. So I remember the nurse coming up to me and I had this male nurse every time I went to the Midtown Texas Oncology. And it was a male nurse and he was like this big dude. And he, you know, so I would sit there in the chemo chair and I was like working on my laptop and answering phone calls and all the things. And a lot of people around me were older.
Yeah.
They were, you know, in their 70s and their 80s getting chemo, different situation than I was in. And so I was using that to distract myself, you know, and to kind of like maybe not feel alone. I didn't realize that at the time, but now that we're talking about it, yeah, that's kind of what I was doing, was like just searching for connection and to stay busy. And he came up to me, he's like, girl, he's like, do you see these people? Do you see what's going on in this room? You need to calm the hell down. And I was like, okay, you're right. You're right. I need to take a minute and just be like, and just chill out. But I think that's the way that I kind of distracted myself because it was a lonely time because of COVID. And we were all just suffering through that, you know, going to doctor's appointments by myself because the doctors wouldn't let anybody else in, you know, so having someone else on speakerphone. So I think now it would be different.
But
it also really kind of allowed me to go, okay, well, you say that you believe in God. Do you really? Is God really meeting you where you say, and are you trusting him to be faithful? And the reality is I am, and I did, and I do. And I really felt like, before I got cancer, our family was going through some stuff. And I really felt like God told me before that that something was going to happen and that it was going to restore our family. I felt that deeply and I didn't know what it was. Yeah. And so when I was diagnosed with cancer, I was surprised, but I also wasn't surprised. I was like,
that's kind of the thing that you thought, this is maybe it. Yeah.
This is the thing. Why. And there was peace around that. There was a lot of peace around that. So it just kind of felt like, you know, God came in and was like, you know, I was never afraid for my life because I felt like God said, I got you, you know, I'm going to heal you, but we're going to walk through some hard stuff.
Yeah.
And we did. And sure enough, God was faithful throughout all of that, through every next right step to really fulfill the promises that I felt like he had told me that he was going to, you know, that the things that we were walking through were settled and he restored our family. And that is something, I mean, if you know me, you know, that's super important to me. And that is the legacy that I want to leave, is strong, a strong family and a strong mom and bond and all of that. And that was restored during that time. And so when I look back at having breast cancer, did it suck? Yeah. Was it humbling to lose all your hair? 1,000%. But would I trade it or change it? Not even a little bit, because the outcome was worth the struggle. Yeah. And I think that if you look at like a lot of the struggles that I've gone through in my life, like the outcome has always been worth the struggle, because if we believe what God says about us and what he says he will do, then we have to trust that the outcome is going to be worth the struggle. And
That's really beautiful.
I just have found that to be true. And not always in the moment. Like in the moment, I remember one day walking into John's office because when, fun fact, back to like you are not in charge, they don't ask you if chemo is a good time for you or if that works with your schedule. They just say, be here on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And so I can remember one of the few times that I was like, that I was emotional, like cried about cancer, was I was working in my home office because we're all working in the home office or in COVID. And I was working in my home office and they called me and they said, hey, we need you to be at chemo at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, Midtown. So you got to go to Austin, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at my calendar and I was like, well, that doesn't align with what I have a meeting at that time. That doesn't align with what I have. And they just laughed. We'll see you at 10. So I remember looking at the phone and walking into John's office and like, he was also working from home on the other side of the house.
Yeah.
Like, rumbling and crying. And I'm not really a crier.
Yeah.
And so when I walked into his office sobbing, he's like, no, what is happening? Wrong. What's wrong? What did they say? He's like, oh my gosh, this is a different problem than I thought we were having, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just hard. And everybody has their own brand of hard, but always faithful, always worth it in the end. So that's really how I feel about my breast cancer journey. Did it suck? Yeah. Was it worth it? I'd do it again.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love it. I love hearing that. And I think it will really resonate with women and people going through it or just, you know, I think as a mom, you fear all kinds of things, right? And not being around for your kids is definitely, it's high on my list. So just, I'm like, Sean can't do all this.
No, I'm kidding.
He would be just fine because we're like 70-30. He does 70% of the things with them. And I love that about him, and our relationship works that way. You know, when I start thinking about not being around or whatever, I think it's just the fear. It's for myself. I know they would be fine. It's just me being sad about missing them, that whole thing. Right. And
yeah.
And then you kind of, I have instilled a daily practice each morning and each night because I do, when I was a young mom, when I was younger as a mom and new to it, I did get anxiety about just all kinds of things in relation to my kids and what would happen if, and what if, and what if. So I had to really start a practice of saying what I'm thankful for each morning and each night before I go to sleep and how blessed I am and just going through all the things, right? And then when you do that, it has been such a relief. I don't let my mind go to the negative place, right? Because I'm putting all the positive things that I'm thankful for in my head and in my heart. And that just really gets me through. So,
Yeah, I think living in a where your position and your attitude is, man, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Period. And not have, and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, and being able to really go to God and go, hey, I have these fears. And I know that you have it. And I know that you love me and my kids more than I do. And I love them a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to choose to give this and believe it because even though, you know, John is we operate very similarly to you guys, but John doesn't care about hair bows on a Tuesday. You know?
Exactly.
He just doesn't. Is your hair going to be brushed? Yeah. But he doesn't care if the bow matches the outfit. And I do.
Same. Sean will let them wear pajamas. Like he doesn't care.
Right. Right. He doesn't care because he's doing other things with them that he's so good at doing. Here's a weird practice and funny, fun fact that I put into place that is, everyone thinks it's so weird, but before cancer, like when my kids were little, because I used to worry about that a lot too, I made a list of women in my life that I knew could fill the gap for me if I was not there. Oh, so like, I was like, okay, if I'm not here, John's going to be fine and he's going to be a good dad, but who's going to take Trinity shopping for a prom dress? Like who's going to do that? And this is before I had cancer. Like I'm just that kind of crazy on a Tuesday, right? Like who's gonna do that? Who's gonna make sure that she has blah, blah, blah? Or who's gonna make sure that, you know, they make a connection with Sutton's girlfriend so that she wants to come over here for dinner and that they, you know, those kinds of mom things that we think of that guys just wouldn't think of. So I just had it in my mind. And I've even talked to some of those girlfriends like, hey, if I'm not here, you're in charge of this. And they're like, oh my gosh, are you sick? No, but just in case,
Yeah. I just want you to know, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah. We have a plan because it makes me feel secure to know that we have a plan that all we have to do is execute.
Yeah. Right?
Like we have these things in place so that all we have to do is execute. If something should happen, let's just execute because when you're in crisis, it's hard. But if we have a plan, all we have to do is work the plan.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we kind of live like a lot like that. Like I have a lot of little plans that I have just kind of, you know, in the back of my mind that should XYZ happen, this is what we would do.
Okay, I do this all the time. And I was talking to my friend about that. This, like, we were somewhere. Oh, gosh, I don't know. We might have been in my house sitting outside and having a glass of wine. And I was do you ever think, what if people just pulled up right now in a minivan and came out with that? Like, this is my head. This is how I think. I prepare myself for the worst case scenario at all times. And I don't know what that means. It's probably a little neurotic, but I'm always thinking, what if? And she's like, no, I would never. Why would someone park and run out with guns? I'm like, I don't know, but what will we do? What's our exit plan? Are we running? Are we grabbing the kids? We have to grab the kids. And she's like, do you live like this? No, it's not every day. But yes, I do have a plan. I have an escape route. If a fire happens, this is what we're doing. If we get robbed, this is what we're doing. I always have a plan. Yes. And I don't know where that comes from, but I don't know.
I think we got to do whatever we can to give ourselves peace, right? Because it gives me peace to know. Like, no one else has to know, but I know this is what we would do.
Exactly.
It's kind of fun to talk about.
Exactly.
It's kind of fun.
I want to hear what you would do, and maybe you have a better plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to talk about all our plans, because you probably have some good ones. But living where we live, where we have had a lot of loss and hard times with the Bastrop fires, you know, we lived in Tahitian Village during the Bastrop fires. And it was, you know, I will never, ever forget that it happened on a Sunday afternoon, and we were, you know, we lived at the bottom, we lived on Onini Court at the bottom of the hill, and had no way of knowing that was going on. John was at church because it was a Sunday. He was having worship practice. And so he was gone. Trinity was with him. And the only reason I was home is because Sutton was sick. And so we were home and our neighbor, who we had never spoken to because they didn't live really close to us, came knocked on the back of our door and said, hey, the neighborhood's on fire. You got to go.
Wow.
And it was crazy. And fun fact to me, I had a plan. Like, we had talked about it. We knew what would happen because I'm like, we do, you know, if our house is ever on fire, like, it was great. And quickly grabbed, you know, the things that we had talked about. We put it in the car. I put sick Sutton in the car, prayed that he wouldn't throw up while we were driving, and we left. And, you know, thankfully our house did not burn down, but sometimes those little plans that you have in your mind work out.
Yeah. See, I'm going to keep planning away for all the random things. Never know.
Do it. Random.
Okay, lady. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. I've loved talking with you. I always do. And I definitely want to grab that workout with you. So let me know, send over the info. And thank you for joining us today. Thank you for coming on and sharing your time. I know you don't have a lot of time. No one does. Thank you. I appreciate
it. I love that you're doing this. I love that you're giving a voice to women in Bastrop. Such a fun podcast.
Yeah.
It's just fun to have something like this as our community is growing to continue to connect.
Yeah, and I've met some new people, which I love, some new women that I never, you know, knew that lived here, and it's been really good. Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's so good, because how do you know who you don't know if you don't have something like this, you know?
Yeah.
I think that we've done such a good job as a community of really kind of holding on to both, like it's kind of like a tug of war, right? So we hold on to the old traditions, and then we also embrace the new.
Yes.
So having things like this, and it's a constant back and forth, because you don't want to go too much one way, but you don't want to go too much the other, because our rich history is important. I think something like this is really cool, because it's a way to kind of stop for a minute and go, I don't know her, but I want to.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us live with the narrative in our heads that, like, oh, I have nothing to offer.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to know me.
I know. I'm like, no, what am I going to talk about? I'm like, we're just going to talk. It doesn't matter, because once something you're going to say is going to hit home with someone listening, and there's no story that's insignificant. Every story has a significance. You know, I just think it's a good way to share and connect too. Yeah. So I'm trying to convince more people. I'm like, come on, like, you don't have to have some big business or anything, like, nothing. Just talk about what's going on in your day to day, because everyone else is going through it too.
Everyone is going through it. We all have stuff we're going through. And really, my heart is not your heart, and your heart is not her heart. And it's all hard.
Yeah.
Right? It's all hard.
Yep.
And we're all just trying to do the next right thing the best way that we can. But
I agree.
Even if you don't have a big business, I think it's so fun to get to know, because we all want new friends. And we all, well, maybe we don't all. I have the inner narrative in my head that, like, oh, they probably don't want to know me. But they don't want to, I'll never have they don't want to be friends with me or whatever. And everybody thinks that. It's not just me. Everybody thinks that.
That's
Everybody
true.
Has a nervousness
That's
about that.
That's true. That's true.
And so it's good. Like, yes, go on the podcast. We want to hear your story. We want to get to know you. We want to be your next best friend, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's it for this episode of Real Women of Bastrop. If today's story moved you, made you laugh, or reminded you of the power of community, share it with a friend, and please leave us a quick review. It helps more people find these stories and the women behind them.